In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We know that summer is here, just to sense the heat, and not only the heat, but also the sensation that classes are ending. And I'm sure all of you are looking forward to that, especially since this is going to be like our first break after the pandemic, although there's rumor out there saying that there'll be another ECQ. So hopefully not. And so, but obviously, I mean, when summer hits the radar, another word enters our minds is vacation time. And we consider vacation as a wonderful time to set plans, to perhaps projects, especially when we think about it post-pandemic, all the things we would have wanted to carry out. All of these are wonderful, and we must have these in mind, and it would be good to have some plan. But let's not forget that this quote-unquote break could be when we truly make a break in what we call life. People say they make a break. That is, they discover something. They manage to find something meaningful in life, to make a break in life, especially when we consider that instead of calling it going on vacation, we could call it, as one author entitles his book with, going on vocation. Why? Because the break is also a time when we could, without the distraction perhaps of classes, of lessons, of exams, of projects, we could delve into the true break, into our life meaning, purpose, and fruitfulness. Especially when we strive to discover deeper who we are, what our life plan is. Many years ago, when I went to Europe and I was studying with, of course, people from all walks of life, I met up with a French student there, and he was explaining to me that many of the students, when they graduate, they don't go immediately to the university. They take about 1 year and a half just chilling around. So in his case, he and his friends rented a catamaran. They learned it. They studied how to sail with a catamaran. And their goal was to sail from France, where they rent in one of the coastal cities there, to rent the catamaran, go all the way down south, 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 down to Sicily, and then go back to France. And why do many of the students do that? Because they feel that instead of just jumping from high school to college, academically speaking, they wanted to have a taste of life, the good sense of life, adventure, and to be able to be on their own. I mean, so, of course, his experience was incredible, no? Because as they were midway into the ocean, they reached their destination. On the way back, however, the weather changed, and they were caught in one of those moments in the Mediterranean where there's not a single strand of breeze blowing. So the catamaran was just like in the middle of the water. Of course, it is a small motor for emergency purposes, but you don't want to use that. And then they were suddenly hit by a storm. And they were helpless. They thought they would die. But fortunately, they made it back to the port. They had rented the catamaran and managed to dock the vehicle, the vessel, in less than what you could call a good condition. It was totally bent because of the storm. But I thought of this because precisely there comes a point in life, especially when you're asked this question on the phone or over the intercom, when you present an application or you pass the border control, when you go to the customs or immigration, they ask you, who are you? And we usually reply with a name, Brian Smith, for example. And that's the proper answer to the question, what's your name? But we are not just a name. Your name does not define you. It just identifies you. You can say that's a dog, that's an ice cream, that's a star. However, you would never say, that's a Brian Smith. You are more than just a name. You are a child of God, a project of God, a person with a mission. In fact, to be precise, you are still under construction like a building, or even better, a work of art that isn't yet finished. If an artist was asked about his work before he had finished, he would not say, this is a work of art, or this is a landscape. He would say, I'm painting a landscape, or it will be a nice landscape of the countryside, but it's still in progress. And this author, from where I have just quoted, says, we are in the process of becoming what God planned us to be. We will discover in the end exactly who we are. And he sets us an example, Karol Wojtyla, St. John Paul II. If you ask him who he was in 1930, when he was 10 years old, he would have told you that he was the son of Karol Wojtyla Sr. If you ask him a few years later, he would have told you that he was a seminarian. Later on, he would have told you that he was the Bishop of Krakow. And later still, that he was the Cardinal Wojtyla. But today, he is not known as Karol Wojtyla, or as the son of his father, as a bishop or cardinal. He is St. John Paul II, as the answer to who he is. That's why it's very important that as we take on, quote unquote, the break, we must also have to want to make a break into who we are. Because if we do not discover who we are, that is really the source of many people's insecurities, fears, anxieties. They don't know who they are. That's why they create identities for themselves. Of course, if you were 10 years old, you can say you're Harry Potter, or you're Merlin the Magician, or you're Wanda the Witch, whatever you want to choose. That's understandable, 10 years old. But if 15, 16, and you're still thinking you're a fictitious mythical creature, or worse, you're Barney the dinosaur, no? It's walking around wearing pink or purple or whatever color you might want to call it, no? Then there's something there that's not complete. That's why all of us, when we have a certain uneasiness, it's because we know that there's something being completed in us. And that is why it's very important to make a break in that identity. And that identity is part of your vocation. You and I, this author continues, we are a sketch of the saint we are to be. We are on an unfinished project. Sketches, how nice. Sketches of the saints that God has planned us to be. That's why we have to take a vocation and take that vocation to prayer. And since God is the architect, is the artist, is the designer, is the painter, we have to ask Him, Lord, what is my vocation? The vocation is not something you start asking yourself when you turn 40. It's amazing that I once in a while reread this book about children, and some of them are only 10 years old, even one. is about only 9. And I cannot help but see and be moved, and even moved to tears, that these children have become saints. If they have become holy and they have found what they're supposed to be at such a young age, whereas there are people who every day are seeking their identity and not realizing that all they have to do is ask the one who can give it to them. Although God never discloses his entire plan in one go, but when you sincerely decide to take your vocation to your prayer, you are starting to ask God for the next move. Perhaps it's something worth while asking Jesus now in our prayer. Lord, could that be part of my summer plan? Not as a concrete plan, but one of my goals this summer. To sort of like journey to go out on an adventure with our Lord, to discover what script he has written for the life that you're going to play in a very unique way. And I like it how this author says, God made you for holiness. God made you for happiness. And you only have one life, one shot. But if you do it right, one life is enough. One life is enough. And then he writes about a nurse in 2009. And the name of the nurse is Bronnie Ware. Wrote an online article called Regrets of the Dying about her time as a palliative caregiver. And of course, working with dying people and developing close relationships with them during their last weeks resulted in raw, honest conversations about life and death, including what the patients wish they had done differently. Regret number one. I think we can also connect to this. I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. It's very true. I mean, a lot of the young people I would talk with is always my parents' expectations, where they want me to study, what they want me to do, what they expect of me, it's true. That's why sometimes we are at odds with them. And this was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. The real dream we are born with is the ambition to become what we are meant to be, the one God thought about before the creation of the world. That's why we shouldn't be daunted by other people's expectations if we align ourselves with God's expectations. If we do that, whatever other people say will be secondary, because it will be clear to us, this is what God wants me to do. She writes, among the other regrets, among the hierarchy of regrets, is a fifth regret, which is, I wish that I had let myself be happier. They say sometimes to you and to me, live a life. Enjoy a life. Hang loose, chill. Don't take yourself so seriously. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. It's because sometimes you're so worried about what people will say, what they will think, what they can comment. And so we sort of like are tailored to all of these things. But again, the cure to that is to go on a vocation. To ask our Lord, Lord, what do you want? What is my spiritual DNA? Which is very important, more than anything. To discover it, and then to culture it, to nurture it, and then to give it to the others. And that's when we really give and make a difference in life. Because the temptation to be like everyone else out there in the world, because they come out in TikTok, because they come out in IG, because they have this channel, they have this or that, is just to become a photocopy. And that is a very, very sad ideal. To be copycats. I mean, I don't know if you have younger brothers or sisters. You know, when they want to irritate you, they start imitating you. If you're eating, and then they start, if you take the fish, you also take the fish, take the vegetable. So the only way to beat them is to do something that they don't like. You know? So you have to beat them at that. But then you notice they imitate in all your moves. Mm-hmm. But that's it. We don't want to be simply copied, or nor do we want to be simply copying the others. Especially when we know that, Lord, you have made us for yourself. And you have given us a very unique and original love for us to discover. And that is the task. That task is a very beautiful task. That is where precisely our holiness, our happiness will rest. So ask Jesus. Ask Jesus. Because many people, for example, they say, you know, that they have one of the sins that people say is that they question their faith. Perhaps it's more important. Why did you question Jesus rather than question your faith? Your faith will not talk back to you. But if we question Jesus, he will answer us. He will tell us. Could it be that my sadness, my insecurity, my fears is because I haven't really gone out to really discover what God wants from me? And here there's a rather amusing caricature of a girl wanting to know her vocation. So she would go to church and spend time in front of a statue of Our Lady with the child in her arms. She didn't know whether she should become a nun or find a man and get married. And in her own words, whether to become a sister or a mother. For weeks, she repeated the same prayer. Holy Mary, shall I become a mother or a sister? After insisting for a long time, one day the child in the statue suddenly turned to the young woman and said, a sister. She was shocked for an instant, but then reacted quickly and said, be quiet, I'm talking to your mother. We would be like that if we're only open to seeing what we want to see. And this author says, if you start asking our Lord for your vocation, make sure you want to know God's will. Not out of curiosity, but out of a sincere resolution to follow the architect's plans. If you think you want to follow God out of love for him, then tell him now that you want to know his will in order to fulfill it with his help. If you pray like that, do you doubt that Jesus will smile at you and assist you on this journey that you are beginning now? And of course, if we are going on vocation, who else should we turn to more than Our Lady? Because she is a model for us to find what God wants. Especially Mary is the summit of one's response to God's calling. And in the Annunciation, God asked her to be his mother. Mary did not understand everything. She did not see things as clear as she would have wanted to, but she trusted in God. And she said, fiat. Well, let's turn to her. Going on vocation is asking Jesus and also asking Mary. We end with these words like a prayer. Mary, Mother of Jesus and my Mother, please help me to give God the same answer that you gave when Gabriel revealed your vocation to you. And then, like her, we might say in a more colloquial way, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm good. What do you want of me now? Through your intercession, Mary, my Mother, may I travel safely on this journey to discover God's will for me. May the Lord walk with me. May St. Joseph assist me. And may my guardian angel keep me company along the way. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.